In Luke chapter 4, starting in the 16th verse, Jesus Christ stands in the assembly of people and reads from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are captive, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And after he said these things, he closed the book, handed it to the attendants, and said, "The scripture has been fulfilled." Today is September 21st, 2014, and this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Every new day that we are blessed with, every year that we are blessed with, is the acceptable year of the Lord. It's another opportunity for us to serve God and serve each other and give God all of the praise, glory, and honor that he is due. And today I'm standing before you to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Christ, because it certainly is good news. Before I begin today, I would like to thank Mr. Wade for inviting me here. He asked me to come, and I did not hesitate to say yes. Any and every opportunity that I have to speak and preach, it's a great opportunity for me to grow, and it's a great opportunity for me to hopefully encourage others. And before I begin today, I would like to share a personal fact about myself, and that is I'm afraid of heights. Anything with a great deal of height, I try to stay away from it, whether it's planes, mountains, bridges, or roller coasters. In my first experience on a roller coaster, I was 8 or 9 years old, and my family took a trip to Disney World. And if any of you know anything about Disney World, you know of this ride called Space Mountain. Space Mountain is an indoor roller coaster, and at 8 or 9 years old, I'm thinking an indoor roller coaster couldn't be too bad. So I asked my dad to take me on this ride. And to make a long story short, I left this ride in tears. It was one of the most fearful events of my life. And I really haven't stepped foot onto a roller coaster up until a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I was peer pressured into taking a trip to Dollywood with several people from my home congregation. And I was hesitant to go at first, knowing all there really is to do at Dollywood is to get on roller coasters. But I decided to go anyway, and I said I would just go and not get on anything. But I was again peer pressured into not getting on one, not two, but up to 6 or 7 different roller coasters with these heights, and I just was terrified. And as I was on these rides, I thought I was literally going to fall out and die. I saw my life pass before my eyes. I saw my life slipping away. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning, as my life was slipping away. Many of you have been in a situation in your life more fearful than a roller coaster ride, and you saw your life pass before your eyes. You didn't know whether you would live or die. And many of you know the story of Jonah. He experienced the same trauma. We see Jonah was called on by God to preach to the city of Nineveh. If you know anything about the story, you know that Jonah did not want to preach to these people. We see Jonah fled from God to the city of Joppa, and he aborted a ship. And we know from this story, as he got on this ship, God caused a great storm to annihilate the ship and shake the ship. And I believe that Jonah realized that that was God who had caused this storm. So we see Jonah run to the very bottom of the ship and fall asleep. And as all of this was going on, as Jonah was asleep, we see the captain aboard the ship come to him and ask him, "Jonah, how can you sleep with such great calamity?" And it was later found out that Jonah was the cause of this destruction. And I'm sure that as Jonah realized all of this great catastrophe was going on, he was thrown off of the ship and swallowed by a very big fish. And in this moment, I'm sure that he didn't know whether he would live or die. I'm sure he thought his life was passing away before his very eyes when he tried to run from God. And a question I ask you this morning is, as Christians, do we try to run from God? We run from God when we do, as my mother says, live in the fast lane. We go out here and do what the world deems cool and acceptable, knowing this is wrong, knowing this is taking us away from the graces of God, knowing that we are willfully living in sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 tells us that if we go on sinning willfully after having received the knowledge of the word of truth, there no longer remains this sacrifice for sins. But what remains is a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation that will consume the adversaries. It is indeed a very fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is certainly a very fearful thing to continue to willfully live in sin. And the goal of today's lesson is to encourage you all not to continue to willfully live in sin. Today I would encourage you to realize that there is no lasting peace and joy in this world. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22 tells us that there is no peace for the unrighteous. There is no peace in our lives if we go out here and do what we feel is right. We have to look to God for all things. Real lasting peace and joy comes from God. And looking back at our example of Jonah, we see that even he realized and recognized that he was running from God. He told those aboard the ship that it was he who was the cause of this great catastrophe. And in Jonah chapter 2 verse 1, we see Jonah have a change of heart. He prays from the belly of this fish. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, 'I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice, for you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountain. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord.'" The New Living Translation phrases that verse, "When my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord." When our lives slip away, do we remember the Lord? That's the question. Verse 8, "Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." We see here that Jonah wasn't obeying God's commands, and his life was suddenly slipping away. When all of this was taking place, he realized that he needed God more so than ever. And he humbled himself and prayed to the Lord, and God heard his cry and expelled him from the mouth of this great fish. When we get to the point in our lives where we have turned away from God and our lives begin to slip away, we should do like Jonah and remember the Lord, humble ourselves and pray to God, and hopefully he too will lift us up. We see the example of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see God inflicted Paul with a thorn in the flesh to keep him from exalting himself above measure. He was dealt with a similar dilemma as Jonah, but we see Paul responded positively to his great distress. He says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." We see when we respond correctly to whatever trials and tribulations that come about in our lives, we too will hopefully be exalted. It may not be in this life, but if we live faithful to God and obey his commandments, one day we will be exalted, caught up in the air to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. We certainly will have our reward in heaven. Going back to our passage, we see that God heard Jonah's prayer and caused the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry ground.
We see when we are at our lowest, it may not always be such a pleasant experience back to the top. I'm sure it was not a good experience for Jonah having been regurgitated from the mouth of a very big fish. And the point made is, once we have gone so far out into this world, there are consequences that we must endure. If we go out here and commit fornication, there are STDs that we have to deal with. There may be babies born out of wedlock that we have to deal with. This splits families. If we have adultery, if we commit adultery on our spouse, this splits families. It causes a lack of stability in our lives. It causes us not to be able to serve our congregations in the capacity that we would like to serve. If we go out and get involved in drugs and alcohol, we may lose our lives. We may lose our jobs, our families, our past achievements. If we hang around with the wrong crowd, this loses our influence on others. It affects the way we help others and teach others. It fails spiritual relationships. It confuses our priorities. And a great biblical example of someone who went out into the world is the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, we read of this story, how he squandered all of his possessions on riotous living. We see he went out and spent all of his money. He lost all of his possessions, and he ultimately became impoverished. And the text says that he began to associate himself with swine, and he even began to eat their food. And we see in verse 17 of Luke chapter 15 how the prodigal son suddenly came to his senses and realized how great he had it in his father's house. And this just helps me remember my life in college. I wanted so bad to live out on my own and experience real college life. I went to the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and my family lived in Chattanooga, so there was really no reason for me to move out of the house, but I just wanted to. So I moved out of the house, and I realized that I had bills to pay. I had to worry about money, what I would eat, and all of those things. So after a year or so of living out on my own, I decided to come back home because I really was living the life at home. And I don't plan on moving out again until I get married. But seriously, we may think going out into this world, associating with worldly people and involving ourselves and worldly things will bring us pleasure, because we feel like those who live life free as a bird are the happiest. But the reality is, these are some of the most miserable people alive. We see every day on the news and radio of some multimillionaire committing suicide or getting themselves involved in some catastrophe, losing their whole career. We see that this football player just got in a whole lot of trouble for just tragic things happening. But we have to realize that real happiness does not come in the world. Real happiness comes from God. He is our only source of happiness and joy. You see, when we go out here and live our lives in the fast lane, eventually we will end up off of the road. And we too will find ourselves in a very terrible situation, walking on a terrible, hard, difficult road back to our Father's house. But as we know from the story of the prodigal son, his father welcomed him with open arms back into his house. And in the story of Jonah, God saved him from the belly of the fish. And likewise, God our Father is always present and willing to accept us back into his fold. But we must realize that the consequences of our sins do not magically vanish away after we have decided to come back to the fold of God. The best decisions are to make the right decisions, and we must strive to never drift away from the fold of God. When our friends ask us to go to a party where we know there will be drugs, alcohol, and sexual promiscuity, we must think about God. When our coworker or our boss asks us to do something that is immoral or unethical, we must think about God. When our heart's desire is to go out and say or do something that we know is contrary to our beliefs that we have grown up hearing, we must think about God. We must have God on our hearts and minds at every God-given point in our lives. Reading through the book of Jonah gives me the impression that Jonah was underwater for a great deal of time before he was swallowed by this fish. He says he was cast into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The currents engulfed him.
Water encompassed him to the point of death. Weeds were wrapped around his head. The great deep engulfed him. He descended to the roots of the mountains. When we feel like we want to run from God and chase after the world, when we realize that our Christian walk with God is not as steady as it once was, when we realize that we are living our lives in the fast lane and our lives as we know it is suddenly slipping away, we must think about when we were in that water. We must think about what made us decide to be immersed. Think about how we felt as we were going down in the water, buried beneath the watery grave of baptism. We must think about our past sins and how we felt as we were being plunged beneath to ultimately be exalted with God in the end. By the grace of God, water saved Jonah from his sins. And water has also saved many of you from your sins. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, Jonah proclaims, "Salvation is from the Lord." Salvation is indeed from the Lord. If you have strayed away from the faith, think about this and don't let your life slip away. I would like to conclude by reading Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it." We must pay close attention to the things that we have heard this morning, to the things that we have heard in the past, and to everything that is in this book. We have to pay close attention, or we too will drift away from it. "For if this word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect Jesus Christ coming into this earth, living among men, and dying on the cross for our sins, how will we escape the fearful expectation of judgment that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 10? We can escape. "After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." There is one who the scripture says is more crafty or more cunning than any beast of the field. He is called the ruler or prince of this world. He is our adversary, and he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. And there are two ways that we can go. There's the broad way, where many go, but it leads to death. And there's the narrow way, where few go, and it leads to life. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8, the prophet writes of a highway of holiness. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. He says, "A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." This morning, we must make the decision to choose who we will serve. If serving the Lord seems undesirable, we must choose who we will serve. But the best decision is to take the highway of holiness and serve the Lord. We see God has prepared a very precious place for those who do his will. This place is incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it's a place that will not fade away. It's a place reserved for those who do the will of the Father. And we see God has established a very simple plan for those to access his heavenly kingdom. The Bible tells us we must hear the gospel preached. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? This morning I have preached to you the gospel of Christ. You have heard the good news of the gospel of Christ. After you have heard, you must believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ came on this earth, dwelt among men, grew up as a tender shoot out of dry ground, and was ultimately crucified on the cross for your sins. After you have heard, believe, you must repent. You must repent and turn away from your sins. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if we go on sinning willfully after having received the knowledge, if we go on sinning willfully after we have heard the gospel and have been baptized, there no longer remains the sacrifice for your sins. But what remains is a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. After you have heard, believe, repent, you must confess the sweetest name that has ever rolled from mortal tongue, the name of Jesus Christ. Confess that He is God, that He is the Savior of the world. Confess that He can save you from your sins. After you have confessed, you can have your sins buried in the waters of baptism, rising forth a new creature, living each day on this earth faithfully until your time here has expired. If you would like to come now, if you would like to be a part of this wondrous fold of God, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.